mixed up that his nose was running and his feet were smelling. Now that's confusion. Amen. But to the word of the Lord, shall we? Amen. Let's stand together, young people, and kids can, if you'd like to go to your respective meetings tonight. I'm going to read some verses that to many of us are very familiar, but they are still just absolutely tremendous. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is writing to his son in the gospel, Timothy. And he has some pretty awesome things he wants to say. Let me read verse 14 to verse 16. He said, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come to thee shortly." Now, that's his desire. He said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now that's a good subject, isn't it? How to behave in the house of God. Well, I thought it was a good one. Amen. How to behave in the house of God. Amen. We behave differently here because of our reverence and our love for God. Amen. That's why we do that. It's all because of Him. Amen. So he said, "I know," and he writes considerably. That's not our subject tonight, by the way, so don't get too scared. And then he said, "How do I say that? To behave thyself in the house of God, the house of God, which is the church of the living God." So the house of God is the church of God. The house is something that it's a structure that is a home you live in. So that tells me that God lives in the church. The church is a body of people that God has called out and called unto Himself. And so God called us out so He could live in us and dwell in us and abide with us and inhabit His church. And then he has some neat stuff to say about this church. He said it is the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I want to talk to you tonight about the mystery of godliness. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. The mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. What makes the church great is our God. Amen. There's nothing special about this church outside of God. There's some special people here. But what makes you special? Your walk with God. Your experience with God. What God has done in your life since you have known Him. That's what sets us apart. And that's what makes us special tonight. We're not special of ourselves, but God has done something special for us. Hallelujah. God has made something good. God has made something better out of our lives. Can anybody say amen to that tonight? Amen. Anybody feel like you're better tonight since Jesus came in to your life? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm very grateful tonight for the change and the good that has come into my life since Jesus came. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then these last verses, he says, without controversy, confessedly. Amen. No argument. No argument. Amen. It's no argument tonight about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's no argument that God is great. It's no argument what God has done for us. Amen. There's no argument about that. You see, If people don't believe the Bible, we just don't have a lot of grounds to discuss him. Now, we can discuss from certain other aspects, but our greatest tool tonight is the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. We can discuss it from other directions, but the Bible is our greatest tool in winning people to God. Praise the Lord. But you know what? The generation didn't have this Bible. The first church didn't have 1 Timothy 3:16. At least not for a long time. Amen. They didn't have that. So they just had to go out and tell people the gospel. Jesus saves. Amen. But you know what? The Bible says, and they went, the Spirit working with them. If you go by yourself, you might as well stay home. But if you'll go in the Holy Ghost, great things will happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Without controversy. Amen. Confessedly. Amen. And then he says, great is the mystery of godliness. The word mystery means something that has previously been hidden but has now been revealed. God is good at that. There were some things that God had withheld and covered up. But then at a particular time, he would reveal that. I've always thought about how the pulse of Isaiah must have increased and how his heart raced when he was scratching with his pen in Isaiah 9:6. When he said, and his name shall be called. Oh, here it is. We've been waiting so long to hear what his name is. I'm ready, Lord. Let me have it. And then God says, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I can't help but feel there was a little disappointment there. I thought I was going to get it. But it wasn't time for the name to be revealed. It wasn't time. Amen. So it was a mystery. But today, God has revealed the mystery of godliness. Do you know how he revealed it? In Jesus Christ. That's how he revealed it. Hallelujah. That's how he revealed the mystery of godliness. The word godliness simply means things that pertain to God. His characteristics, his attributes. Amen. Things are like God. You want to be godly? Then be like God. Amen. I'm not talking about having some kind of a God complex, thinking that you're a great creator or a great savior or something, but I'm talking about just be like he is. God's kind. Be kind. God is love. Be love. God is light. Show your light. Amen. God is peace. Be peaceful. Seek peace. Show peace. Live in peace. You see? So those are godly things. You want to be godly? That's how you be godly. And so the mystery of godliness was revealed in Jesus Christ. So he gives us a real key here in the next portion when he says, for God was manifest. God was manifest. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's saying Jesus is God. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now you see, you can't say that tonight. Not honestly. And I can't say that tonight. You can be an identical in appearance to your father, but you couldn't say, when you see me, you see my father. That's not true. But Jesus could say that honestly because God was manifest in the flesh. And John said, we beheld the glory, amen, of the only begotten. Amen. When he saw Jesus, and you know what? When you get to heaven and somebody's sitting on the throne, you know who you're going to see? Jesus. God manifest in flesh. Amen. I've seen heaven depicted as there's an old man up there with whiskers, and there's a young man standing beside it, and there's a dove flying around. No. That's not what you're going to see. The Bible said there's one throne, and there's one sitting on the throne. It doesn't say anything about the bird, the old man or the young man. Amen. It just talks about the one that's on the throne. Hallelujah. Because God was manifest in Jesus Christ. Amen. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As the little boy said that night when he called for his daddy and he was scared, and his dad comforting him said, "Son," he said, "Jesus is in the room. The angels are here." The little boy said, "I know all that, Dad," he said, "but ooh, I needed somebody with some skin on." Amen. It's okay to have a spirit, but you can't see a spirit. It's okay to have an angel, but you can't see an angel. But Jesus is God manifest in flesh. Jesus is God with skin on. Jesus is God in His work clothes. Amen. People had all kinds of weird ideas about God. He said, "Let me show you who I really am and what I'm really like." And He came and manifest Himself in the physical body and through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God was manifest. That is, He was revealed, He was made apparent, and He showed Himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In the flesh. There was a doctrine a few years ago that got a lot of attention concerning the flesh of Jesus. They said His flesh was not like our flesh. You know, the Bible only has one word for flesh. The Greek word is sarx. It means meat. Flesh. That stuff that's on your bones. There's just one word for it. And Jesus had flesh. Like our flesh. It wasn't different than our flesh. Amen. Because the Scripture said that Jesus was tempted. Everybody say, He was tempted. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. Amen. Now, God as a spirit could not be tempted. The Bible said, no man can tempt God, talking about His spiritual nature. Amen. But the book of Hebrews said that, speaking of Jesus, God manifests in flesh, He was tempted in the flesh at all points like as we are. Amen. You ever been tempted? So was He. The difference in us and Jesus, the Bible says that He was without sin. He never gave in. He never succumbed. He never failed. He was strong. He was an overcomer. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you how He did that in just a moment. So God was manifest in a physical body like yours and mine. Some people use a term, and they call Jesus God the Son. That is not a biblical term. There is a doctrine that speaks of the eternal sonship. That's not a biblical doctrine. The Bible speaks of a begotten Son. Someone that is begotten has a beginning. And Jesus Christ had a beginning. It began when the seed of the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that child began to grow in her womb. That was the beginning of Jesus Christ. Did he preexist in the mind and the plan of God? Yes, he did. The Bible said there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sin, God had already proposed a Savior. Yes, he did. Before there was ever a need, God had already prepared a sacrifice. But that son was not begotten until Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, the son was begotten of God. Amen. Yes, he was. He was God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. So the scripture makes it very clear who Jesus was. God manifest in the flesh. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Amen. I think we've got that. And then the Bible says that he was justified in the Spirit. The word justify means to vindicate, prove right. To prove right. Now, Jesus didn't do it, but he could have. He could have said, I told you so. We're good at that, huh? I told you so. Every time Jesus did a miracle, he could have said, I told you so. Amen. I told you it was. Amen. Did you know that Jesus' own brothers and sisters did not believe in him? I'm talking about, no, a lot of people are shocked to learn that Mary had other children, but she did. They were not adopted. They were born to Mary and Joseph. Amen. This immaculate conception thing is not biblical. Amen. Mary was a woman that God used miraculously. Miraculously, to bring Jesus Christ into the world. But Mary, from that point on, was no different than you and I. Mary never did any miracles that we know of, beside give birth to the Son of God. As a matter of fact, guess who was there on the day of Pentecost? Mary. Who got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues? Mary. Who was a part of the church of Jesus Christ? Mary. Amen. She was just like the rest of them there. She got the Holy Ghost just like they did. She talked in tongues just like they did. Amen. Praise God. And so the Bible says that Jesus was proven right, proven innocent by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Now to really understand Jesus Christ, we have to understand that he had a dual nature. That Jesus Christ was both man, fully man, and he was God, fully God. Now, obviously, the quantity of God was not only in Jesus Christ. God's omnipresent. Amen. But everything that God is, all of his essence, all of his attributes, all of his power, amen, it dwelt in Jesus Christ. And yet, that's why the Bible said, great is the mystery. Hallelujah. Great is the mystery that God would manifest or tabernacle himself in a man. But he did that. Praise God. Jesus had a dual nature. As a man, he hungered. He said, I'm hungry. He said, I'm thirsty. He got weary. Amen. He had all of the limitations that we have in flesh. He had to sleep like we sleep. He had to rest like we rest. All of the things that humans have to do, he did. He's a human being. One time he was a baby, just like you were a baby. Amen. He had to have diaper changes, if you'll pardon me. Amen. He was just a baby. Amen. He cried at night. He was a baby. He was a little boy. He was a teenager. He became a man. Praise God. He went through every stage of life. And when we go through those stages of life, he can identify with us because he was there. Hallelujah. You know, when a little child prays, Jesus knew what it's like to be a little child. When a child hurts, he knows what that's like to be a child and hurt. When people say bad things about him and hurt his feelings, he knows what that's like because it certainly happened to him. He knows what it's like for people to talk bad about his mother and about his family. He knew what it was like to have his brothers and sisters make fun of him and not understand him. Amen. Because he was a man. He lived in a human body just like yours and mine. Praise God. So the Bible says that he was justified by the Spirit. So, but as God, not only as man he hungered, but as God, he could take two loaves and some fishes, and he could feed 5,000 people. As God, he could command the winds and the waves to be still. As God, he could walk on the water as if it were land. As God, he could do miraculous things. He could speak to the devil and make him flee. He could raise the dead. Praise God. You know, I've never seen a human being do that. But he could literally call people that had crossed over to the other side, and he could call them back again. Because he's God. Amen. So Jesus said, believe me for what I say. And he said, if you can't do that, believe me for my work's sake. In other words, have you ever seen anybody else doing this stuff? Have you? Amen. Have you seen anybody else opening blind eyes on a regular basis? Have you seen anybody else opening deaf ears and causing lame people to leap and dance and jump? Calling the dead back to life again? Delivering the spiritually oppressed and possessed? Have you seen anybody else doing this? Jesus, one time, you know, John got discouraged. He was a man. When he got put in prison, he sent a message to Jesus and he said, Lord, he said, are you really the one or should we look for somebody else? Now, he was convinced he was the one because he saw something. God allowed John to see the Spirit of God descending. And John heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So John knew. But you know, every now and then we need a little reassurance, don't we? You know how God reassured John? With the Bible. With the Bible. You know how God generally is going to help you? With a word from the Lord. He didn't get him out of prison. He just sent him a message. He said, you go tell John. He said, tell him that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and that the poor had the gospel preached unto them. He was quoting the prophet. And he said, all he needs is just a little word of God, and that's going to keep him going. You know why we come to church? One of the reasons is just a word from the Lord can keep us going. Amen. Have you ever come to church low and discouraged and depressed and heard a word from the Lord? Hallelujah. And it caused you to lift up your head and say, man, praise God, I can run through the troop and leap over the wall. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. So Jesus Christ was a dual nature. He was God in the spirit, and he was man in flesh. In the Bible, when you read the term Son of Man, that's the flesh of Jesus Christ. When you read Son of God, that's the God nature that was in Jesus Christ. It's not talking about two gods, because the flesh was not God at all. Jesus said, in my flesh, he said, I can do nothing. Nothing. Just like your flesh, you can do nothing. Amen. But through God, we're mighty. And Jesus understood that as well, did he not? Amen. He understood that. In John chapter 14, chapter 10, he said this. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He said, I'm not doing all these things, but God that's in me He's doing it. I'm just the flesh. I'm the work clothes. I'm the man. But the one that's in me, the spirit that is in me, he's doing all these works. And then, verse number 11, he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Amen. Can any man do these things? Of course they could not. Only God could do what Jesus did. Amen. The Pharisees had it all wrong one time. They said, you being a man, make yourself God. Oh, no. Being God, he made himself a man. That's the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is not that a man tried to become God. Now, people do that all the time. But the great miracle is that God, being God, would make himself a man. That the greater would become the lesser. That God would come down to our level so that he could lift us up to be like him. That's the mystery of godliness. And so Jesus said, believe me for the work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now Jesus said, I'm doing these things, but he said, you're also going to do these things. The mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in flesh. He was manifest in Jesus Christ without measure. He's manifest in us. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you know what you get? The same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. Do we understand that tonight? Do we really grasp that tonight? That the same God that was in Jesus is in us? And the God that was in Jesus Christ working miracles through him said, these works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. How can they be greater than what Jesus did in quantity? Jesus was limited by space and time as long as he was in the physical body. And as a man, a God manifests in flesh, he can only be in one place at one time. But he said, one of these days, I'm going to cast off this tabernacle. I'm going to go back to the Father. In other words, I'm going to be spirit. And as spirit, I can be everywhere. And I can be in everyone. Amen. So I can do work simultaneously everywhere that I am, which is everywhere. Amen. Praise God. Help us tonight, Lord, to realize that you have called us to great things. Now, there's something I really think we need to see here. This is very vital. Now, listen closely. John 14, 13. He said, in whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. In other words, he said, this is going to be the glory and the mystery of godliness, is that God's going to be glorified in that flesh body. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. That body that men despised, that body has now been glorified. And that's the body that you're going to see when you get to heaven. Amen. Now, I want you to hear me very closely here. Sometimes people, when they think about greater things and all these great things they can do, their motive gets wrong. They want to do great works so they will look good. And so they will get glory. And so that people will think they are very special and very spiritual. If that's your motive, you're very wrong. The only reason that God wants to do great things is so that he can be glorified. All the glory belongs to God. Do we understand that? Amen. If you walk to the pulpit with people singing how great thou art, something's wrong somewhere. Amen. Praise God. If you have to stay in a certain level of hotel because you're such a great evangelist, something's wrong somewhere. If you can only eat at certain kinds of restaurants, amen, certain, pay a certain kind of price for your food and for your clothes, something's wrong somewhere. Amen. The Bible said, for the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was not into stuff. Ray Stevens had a point when he said, would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? He did have a point. Asking some little lady for $20,000 while you're wearing $10,000 on your arm. Huh? Something's out of kilter there, folks. That's when men get lifted up. Amen. I love Brother T.W. Barnes. Brother Barnes, I mean, God used the man greatly. He was a modern-day prophet. God used him greatly. And God used him in miracles and healings and prophecies and all kinds of things. And he got caught up one time and all that was going on. And so he had this sign painted and put it over his tent. And like everybody else was doing, and it said, Barnes Healing Campaign. And he was admiring this new sign. And the Lord showed up and he said, huh, who's Barnes? Who's Barnes? And then he understood, it's not Barnes Healing Campaign. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, God lets you have your ministry and your name if you want to. You can plaster it all over everything. You can put it on all your literature. You can do whatever you want to with it. But that doesn't mean he's in anything. Amen. God, the Bible said it's all for His glory. All for His glory. All for His glory. Amen. So the Spirit, Jesus was justified in the Spirit. First of all, He was justified by His mighty works. Amen. He did what He said He could do, including the fact that He said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, He said, I'm going to raise it up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I could say that, but I couldn't do it. There have been some other people that said that. There have been some people that call themselves prophets that said that. They say, y'all don't bury me because in 3 days I'm coming back. Guess what? They hadn't come back yet. And they're not going to. They had to pickle them and do all kinds of stuff because they ain't coming back till the trumpet sounds. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm going to, and He did. We ready?
We're good.
Jesus promised, and then he did what He said. There used to be a boxer called Cassius Clay. You remember him?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Later became Muhammad Ali. I didn't like him. You know why I didn't like him? Because he had this big mouth. And he was always telling people what he was going to do. But the reason I really didn't like him is because he'd turn around and do it. It wasn't mouth. He could do what he said. He said he was going to flatten them in a certain time, and he'd do it. He really did. Jesus was like that. He told us what he was going to do, and then he did it. Justified the Spirit. And he gave the glory always to God. He never took any glory to the flesh. Always to the Spirit. That's what justified him. Amen. So his works were great. And then his sinlessness was great. He didn't sin because of the Spirit of God that was in him. It was able to keep him. And guess what? The Spirit that was in Christ dwells in you. And it's able to keep us. The Bible said, if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we can walk in holiness and we can walk in purity, and we can walk in righteousness. These people that tell you that you have to sin a little bit every day, they've got a very short sight in them. Amen. God is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep you from sinning. Amen. Praise God. Do we still believe that? Amen. Yes. Praise God. So the Spirit justified Jesus Christ by keeping him from sin. Amen. And then I think one of the greatest justifications are proofs of vindications of the Holy Ghost, and that Jesus was who he said he was. He said, on the third day, I'm coming out of here. And they got scared. And they said, we want you to take the biggest, burliest Roman soldiers you can find, put them in their finest armor, and stand them in front of that tomb so he can't come out of there. Amen. On resurrection morning, praise God, soldiers or no soldiers, stone or no stone, Jesus came out. Praise God. The Bible said he was seen of the saints of God for 40 days. Thousands of people saw him. They knew that it was true. Amen. He was justified by the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. What's that song Sister Joan wrote? Sister Joan Young wrote. It said, how do I look leaving this world where I never belonged anyway? Amen. Praise God. You see, it's going to be a I told you so moment. Praise God. We told folks we were getting ready to go in the rapture. We told folks that Jesus was coming again. We told folks there was a heaven. We told folks if you get the Holy Ghost, you get to go in the rapture. For if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells also in your mortal body, it shall quicken, make alive your mortal body. We told them on resurrection morning, it's going to happen. Just like it happened to Jesus Christ. That's the mystery of godliness. He said, we shall all sleep. He said, we shall all be changed. Every one of us. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Some folks are going to go to sleep first. They're going to die and go to the grave. But the Bible said we're not going to prevent them. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, it's going to be a marvelous moment. Hallelujah. Isn't that going to be glorious? It would be interesting to be passing a graveyard about that time. People popping up everywhere. Hey, wouldn't that be interesting? Amen. If you're on an airplane, pray that you're saved. Because if the pilot's got the Holy Ghost, he's out of there. And you're on your own. Amen. Pray. We're all going, folks. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Glory. Praise the Lord. They're going to rise up. And then all we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Hallelujah. We're going to stand to attention, and all at once, boom, we're getting out of here. Glory. My, what a moment. That's the mystery of godliness. Because the Spirit that was in Christ that resurrected him is also going to resurrect you and I. That's the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Scripture said he was seen of angels. Do you believe that? Amen. Before he was even born, the angels started working. Amen. Old Testament, they started working. New Testament, before he was born, an angel came to Mary. Got so excited, he nearly scared her to death. You know what angels usually say when they see humans? Because they know we're scared of them. Angels always say, fear not. But this one got so excited. He said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored of women. And he got right into his message. When she was about to have a heart attack, he stopped and he said, fear not. He was excited. Amen. Because finally, he'd been holding that good news for so long. And he finally got to tell it. Praise the Lord. He was excited to bring his message. Amen. Praise God. And an angel talked to Joseph about Jesus. That was a real unusual situation. Amen. And an angel was there when Jesus was born. They appeared to shepherds in the field. They appeared in the heavens. Amen. Shepherds. Praise God. Saw angels. They heard them praising God in the heavens. Angels everywhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was exciting. Angels brought manifest their presence. When Jesus was baptized, guess what? Angels were there. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the Bible said angels came and ministered to him. When Jesus was in the garden, angels came and ministered to him. When Jesus resurrected, angels were there. When he got ready to ascend into heaven, angels were there. Boy, he was seen of angels all through his life. Praise God. Ministering spirits accompanied him everywhere that he went. Praise God. And the Bible said he was preaching to the Gentiles. Amen. You see, that wasn't the plan. Originally, the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He came to his own. They didn't receive him. One time he talked to this little lady. He said, I've only come to the lost house of Israel. I can't help you Gentiles. He even called her a dog. She didn't get offended. She said, but Lord, even dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And he couldn't resist that. He couldn't resist that. So even though she was a Gentile, he answered her prayer. Hallelujah. One time there was this Gentile soldier that said, Lord, I want you to come heal my servant. Now, he understood he could come to the Jews, and this was a Gentile. And he said, oh, no. I'm a Gentile, Lord. It wouldn't do for you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy. He said, but if you'll just speak the word. Jesus said, such faith I have not found, no, not in all of Israel. Amen. And the servant was healed at self-same hour. Amen. You see, he ministered to Gentiles even though he wasn't really supposed to. He couldn't help it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He couldn't help himself. When he found faith, he couldn't be confined. Amen. And it was a long time before. You know, when you remember what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost? He said, for the promise is to whom? To you and to your children and are all that are far off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When he said that, he was talking about Gentiles, but he didn't believe that. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, you can say things you don't believe. Peter did. Because when the Lord told him to go to Cornelius' house, so he said, I ain't going there. Man's a Gentile. I'm not going to a Gentile's house. Well, the Lord convinced him, sent him a message and sent him a vision and finally got him to go. He took some witnesses with him, thank God. That was a good thing. Amen. They got to the Gentiles' house. Peter started talking to them about the Holy Ghost, and he didn't get through preaching. The Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them which believed. Hallelujah. They were having revival left and right, people getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. He hadn't even finished his sermon yet. Praise God. And a preacher went down preaching in Columbia, and right in the middle of his sermon, people jumped up and started running to the altar. I mean, it was a big convention, thousands of people. They come down and tell me, flock into the altar. He said, what do I do? He said, I'm not through yet. We said, you are now. They didn't know what he was saying anyway. He was talking in English. Amen. They could only understand what the missionary was saying to them as they translated. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not through yet. Well, yeah, you are. Amen. Peter, whenever the people, their faith was touched and they heard all they needed to hear, they just started getting the Holy Ghost left and right. Amen. Got baptized before he left. Praise God. And so he was preached unto the Gentiles. Amen. Did you know, well, Barclay, I don't know where he got his estimate, he said by the time that Timothy was written, he said there were 100,000 Gentiles to every Jew that was in the church. Do you know the first, it wasn't an apostle, but you know, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles. And I don't know when he preached to Gentiles next. But I know there was a church in a town called Antioch. And the people in Antioch, they got to thinking, well, you know what? I think Gentiles could get the Holy Ghost. Maybe they'd like to have this too. They were the very first church to actually, on purpose, go out and preach to Gentiles. They did. And guess what? Gentiles started flooding into the church at Antioch. My, they were having revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know what can happen when we quit trying to choose God's church? Well, Brother Grissom, what do you mean? Sometimes we go talk to the same old people that have rejected us time and again. What would happen if we started talking to new people? Oh, I don't think they'd be interested. You don't know till you try. You might be surprised. They were. They didn't think Gentiles would be interested, but guess what? They were. They started having revival left and right. The Jews got all excited. They said, man, all these Gentiles, what are we going to do with them? They sent apostles down there. But the gate was open, folks. Once it was open, it couldn't shut it. God gave us a revival like that one time in South Texas, and people started saying, when are we going to get some white people? I didn't care. You know, God, I wasn't choosing the church. God was. Doesn't matter what color they are, even what language they speak, or what their culture is. Amen. Our job is to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Don't worry about anything else. Amen. But what if they outnumber us? Good. As long as people are being saved. But what if they take my place? What is your place? What is your place? Well, amen. What if they get my seat? Let them. You'll get here earlier next time. Amen. I'll tell you what, Brother Hart, it's going to be exciting when you got to get here early if you want a seat. Amen. We don't assign seats here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm meddling now. I better quit and get back to preaching. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, when the Gentiles started coming in, the church increased. Paul went out on his missions with John Mark and Barnabas and Silas, and my revival started happening. Amen. And this gospel reached the whole world. Started out with one Christian. I don't know where they get these statistics, but the statistic says that by the time at the end of the age of the apostles, there was about 12% of the world that were Christians, starting with just one Christian by the name of Jesus Christ. And in one generation, amen, 250 million people became Christians. Amen. That's real. And you know another proof of that? We are almost 2,000 years removed from when Jesus walked this earth and the apostles were here. And guess what? Today, there are multiplied billions of Christians on the face. Amen. This is real, folks. This is real. Every country you go to, they're Christians. Every country. Some places they're persecuted. Amen. But everywhere you go, there's Christians. We don't have enough of them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so that's the mystery of godliness. The gospel was preached to the whole world. I love this. The Bible says, beginning with some Galilean fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, a Pharisee. Amen. Not likely prospects. But God used those men and women to bring a worldwide revival and spread the gospel to the whole world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they were even in Caesar's household. There were people right there in the emperor's house that was serving his tea and making his beds and cleaning his floors. that were Pentecostals. On their day off, they went to church and shouted and talked in tongues and witnessed everywhere they went. Even in Caesar's household, right under his nose. Everywhere. Why, what a gospel tonight that we've got. And then the Bible says he was received up into glory. Amen. And I'm going to close here real soon. Amen. He's received up into glory. Barclay said this. He said he lived as a servant. He was branded as a criminal. He was crucified on a cross. He rose with the nail print still upon him. But the end is glory. The story of Jesus begins in heaven and ends in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. My, what a man. What a man. Praise God. No one has ever impacted the world the way Jesus impacted the world. Amen. There's nobody. That's the mystery of godliness. Amen. Praise God. And guess what? You know what the mystery of godliness is? It's all going to end in heaven. We didn't start out in heaven, Brother Hart. Oh, I think many of us would say it was anything but heaven where I came from. Amen. What I've been through wasn't heaven. What I've had to suffer in my life wasn't heaven. The things that I've battled in life were not heaven. But you know what? It's going to end in heaven. One of these days, and it won't be long. Praise God, a trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to leave this world. Praise God. It's going to end in heaven. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your attention. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus said, I'm the first fruits. Amen. He wasn't the only one. He said, I'm the first fruits. He said, I want a whole bunch more just like me. Praise God. That was his whole idea, was that everywhere people went, they'd see Jesus. And what he said and preached, that's what we'd say and preach. And the way he lived and taught and worked, that's the way we would live and talk and work. That was the will of God. That's exactly what he commanded, and that's exactly what he wanted. As a matter of fact, I've always been amazed here in the book of Mark, when Jesus told his disciples, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we call the Great Commission. And then dropping down to the 19th verse, it says, in verse 20, let me see, go there. The Bible says, and they went. Everybody say, and they went. He said, go, and they went. He said, preach. In verse 20 it says, and they preached. He said to every creature, the Bible says they preached everywhere. And here's the great part. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Do you know why we don't get more? Because we don't preach more. You know why the Holy Ghost doesn't fall in every church? Because they don't preach the Holy Ghost in every church. You know why people don't get baptized in Jesus' name in every church? Because they don't preach Jesus' name in every church. Do you know why people don't get healed in every church? Because they don't preach healing in every church. You know why people don't get delivered in every church? Because they don't preach deliverance in every church. If we preach it, that's what the Lord does. He confirms the word with signs following. Praise God. That's the mystery of godliness. That's what God wants to do tonight. Amen. Praise God. Would you like to commit yourself to revival tonight? Would you like to commit yourself as one of those witnesses that's going to go forth and just tell it? You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be licensed with the United Pentecostal Church or any other group. All of us are called to be witnesses. every last one of us. All you have to do is tell people what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's what you know best. Just tell people how you feel about it. You don't have to tell them that they're sinners and they're lost, and you don't have to tell them how to get straightened out. No, 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 no. Just tell them what the Lord has done for you. Amen. Tell it with love. Tell it with excitement. Tell it with enthusiasm. Amen. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Amen. Would you come tonight? Let's just come and commit ourselves a few moments here tonight. Let's lift up our hearts and hands and respond to the word of the Lord tonight. Jesus, I'm coming here. I'm lifting up my hands and my heart here tonight. I'll open my being to you. I'm opening up everything that I am, everything that I have.
What makes it
if I ever needed God, I need you tonight.
For me,
Jesus, I want to go to heaven, but I don't just want to go to heaven. I want to take somebody with me. I want to take my family. I want to take my wife. I want to take my child. I want to take my neighbors. I want to take my coworkers. I want to go to heaven, but I want people to go with me. I want everybody in this congregation to go with us. I don't want even one to be left behind. So God, help us tonight. The mystery of godliness is that just as you were changed, we're going to be changed. As your body was glorified, our body is going to be transformed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you indwell eternity in the presence of a sinless and a glorious heaven, so we shall also one day inherit that place that you have prepared for us. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God, we want to take people with us tonight. I want to take people with
me.
Don't let anybody be lost. Don't let any be left behind. I know it seems like some are so far, but they're really not. Because you're as close as the mention of your name. I pray tonight, God, that you would open the eyes of the lost. Help them to see. Help them to see the vanity of sin. Help them, God, to see the emptiness of life and the pointlessness of life without God. And then help them to remember the glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Help them to look beyond their disappointments and their fears and their discouragement. And help them to see you in your majesty, in your glory, and in your great beauty. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Let there be a hunger in our city for God. Let there be a consciousness, a longing for righteousness, purity.
Longing to see. for me. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Now if walls there were jasper, if streets were not gold, if men